here. A young man in our church named Ari Amparo had a desire to start a church a few miles to the north of our town. And in 2017, we helped him start his first church. And then you saw the third church we have had a chance to help build and be a part of with Brother Elias Ventura. Just in the last 6 months, the Lord has continued to bless. We started our first formal training seminary. In the past, when a young man wanted to start a church, I and maybe a couple other missionary friends would train him one-on-one. But now that we have three churches in the area and a number of young men and some men not so young desiring to learn to go deeper into the Word of God, we started a seminary back in May, and we had 9 students in our first semester, and now we have 14. So keep praying for that. We're seeing young men and middle-aged men get a desire to go reach the world for Jesus Christ. And in the next few months, probably the next 6 months, we have another young couple out of our church that desire to start, plant a church about 45 minutes away. Now, that's what the Lord has called us to do, to go and see people saved, to see them discipled, to see them grow in the Lord. And then, as a church, we get to send them out. And I know that you understand that, because when I walk into the church like this, it was so exciting to see all these missionary letters, and I started reading them. And then it stopped at Johnson. I was like, oh, they don't have our missionary letter. And one of the young men's like, no, we got more missionary letters out here. And I was so excited to see a church that loves missions and missionaries. Now, I'm going to speak a little later on in our message about that, but let me just say, faithfulness is the most important thing. And we thank you for your faithful prayers, and thank you for your faithful support in our ministry. We could not be there without both the prayers and the financial support. It is vital. And all that we got to show in the short snippet today and the things I'm telling you that have happened is all added to your spiritual account for your faithfulness to our ministry. Now, I saw Brother Mike earlier tonight, and I didn't remember his name until he reminded me, but I did remember his mustache and his firearm from the last time I was here. And it's such an encouragement to me to go back to churches where there are faithful members still there, serving, giving, loving. And as when we open God's Word here in a little bit, we're going to talk a little more about how you can serve as well. But the things you're doing now by prayer and faithfully supporting helps us stay in the mission field. We love being missionaries. I didn't have a good picture, so I'm going to send you out there tonight when you go by. If you haven't got one of our prayer cards, get a picture of our family. Put it on your refrigerator or put it in your Bible, wherever you go most. I'm not going to tell you where I go more often, but put it somewhere where you'll see it, and you'll pray for the Johnson family. Pray for us. Our kids love being missionary kids. I couldn't be there without my wife. She is an integral part in everything, and I'm missing them. But I'm looking forward to getting back and telling them about seeing you guys, and thank you for your faithfulness to our ministry. Let me just first say thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. As a pastor, one of the more difficult things sometimes is to get people to come out midweek. Now, as a church member, when I was a church member at my home church, I loved Wednesday night church service. I don't know how you are, but when I used to work in the world, I felt like I could barely get to Wednesday night church before I had to go hear some preaching and the Lord encourage me so I could finish out the week. And it's such a great encouragement to see a strong church out on a Wednesday night. And listen, that encourages your pastor. Just being in church encourages your church family. Okay? And so let me just encourage you to keep doing that. That's how a church grows. It grows being in the church every time and praying for the needs of your church members. You know, if you don't come on a Wednesday night, you're not going to hear the prayer requests. You're not going to know the blessings. That's what I try to tell our church members. You want to know your church, come to the midweek service and pray with your church members. Open your Bible this evening to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now, if I stumble over some words tonight, la razón, hermano Carlos, es porque normalmente yo predico en el idioma del cielo, lo que es español. Okay? Por 15 años, he predicado dos veces semanal en español. What I said was, if I stumble over words, normally I'm preaching in Spanish. I don't preach in English very often. So, though I speak in English, I don't normally preach in English that much. So, if it sounds like this guy doesn't even know what he's saying, I'll preach it in Spanish later on for you, okay? Matthew 28. Of course, this is the Great Commission. Starting in verse 16, Notice what the Word of God says. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord bless his word tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have tonight to hear from you. Lord, I pray most of all that you, Lord, would just, in our hearts tonight, through your Holy Spirit, show each and every individual this evening, those who are your children, how we can all be individually involved in making disciples for you, wherever that is, Lord. I pray that this message that we have known and understood maybe for a long time would be afresh and new for us this evening. And Lord, we would leave this place with direction through your word and through your Holy Spirit. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in your holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, with this in mind, I believe I told Brother Chris, the title was Making Disciples, but really, Brother Chris, it's Making Disciples of All Nations is the actual title. But if you were to ask the average church member today what they thought the primary purpose for the local church is, it would probably be surprised by the variety of different responses. And you might get some that are like this, and these aren't bad responses, but you might get someone who would say, you know, Pastor, worship. Worship is the primary purpose of the church, lifting up our voices to Almighty God. There's nothing more important, more noble of a church than to worship the Lord. And that is a wonderful thing that a church should do. Another answer you might hear from someone, and they think of the primary purpose of a church, is the imparting of the knowledge of God's Word, Bible study, teaching God's Word. That's the primary purpose of the church. Others may respond and say, it's fellowship. Fellowship of the believers, that ecclesia, the called out members of Jesus Christ, when they gather together for the exclusive purpose of encouraging each other in their common love and faith. And I love tonight hearing not only the prayer requests, but the praises. You know, it is very important we pray for all the physical and spiritual needs, but we need to tell her when the Lord blesses. And that's part of the fellowship we have together. Now, all of these answers are absolutely biblical and should be characteristics of a very good, healthy church. But together and separate, they don't fully emphasize the primary purpose of the church. Now, I hope you understand that God has created each and every one of us to bring glory into Him. That's His ultimate purpose for each and every one of us. So as a church, as a called out assembly of believers, when we truly bring glory to God is when we, as the church and individuals, complete His great commission. That commission that says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Now, this was God's plan from the very beginning. It wasn't just for the church. In fact, originally, God had this desire for Israel. He wanted Israel to go into the world and to make His name known. But they rejected their Messiah, and so God, in His infinite wisdom, had another plan. He had the local New Testament church. Now, God has never been more glorified than when one lost sinner is redeemed from their sins and given eternal life. I don't know how many of you have had that opportunity to take someone and lead them through the Scriptures and see them place their trust in Christ. You know, the Bible says that whenever someone places their trust in Christ, there's a party in heaven. The angels are celebrating. God is glorified. And that's when we can most glorify Him. Do you understand God desires that no man perish? I love what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But He is long-suffering. I love that word. He is long-suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish. And in case we're confused, but that all should come to repentance. You know, when God created hell, he didn't create it for you and me. He created for the devil and his demons. He created heaven for you and me and desires that all men would come to repentance. Paul, when he's talking to his young man in the ministry, Timothy, said, "Who, speaking of God, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." This is the New Testament pattern. God desires the church to go forth and complete this great commission. And when lost sinners are forgiven, and when they are transformed from death into life, God is supremely glorified. And if you were to look back through every one of these prayer letters, that's what these missionaries are trying to do in their parts of the world. Tell others about Jesus Christ and seeing lives transformed. Now, I want you to think of this. Maybe you have never thought about this, but if worship was the primary purpose of the church, then the moment we got saved, wouldn't it be better if God just took us straight to heaven where we could sing with the angels? I can't really sing like the brother was up here singing. The gentleman we showed in the video, Brother Elias, he sings like he's an opera star. He has an amazing voice. When I get to heaven one day, I want to sing like him. But on this side of heaven, I don't sing like that. One day, and we're going to be singing with the angels. That's going to be perfect worship. You know, if understanding God's word, Bible study, preaching, if that was the primary purpose, then I also believe that right away, once we are saved, God would send us to heaven so we can know all things. But we're still here learning. If fellowship were the primary purpose of the church, undoubtedly God would take us to heaven, because in heaven there is no sin. The fellowship would be perfect. Now, all of those things are wonderful and should be part of our church. But you know, there's one ministry in this church, one thing we do in this church that you cannot do in heaven. And that is to go tell other lost sinners about Jesus Christ. The reason the Lord has left us here is to tell those out there what this book says in here. Amen. That's why he's left us here. Oh, we should have worship, and we should certainly have fellowship, and we should certainly teach God's word. But the primary purpose for us is to go forth, to teach all nations, and to make them disciples of Jesus Christ. The mission for every believer, not just the missionary, not just the pastor, not just those who work on staff, the mission for every believer should be to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And tonight, very briefly, if you listen fast, I'll preach fast. If you listen slow, I'll preach slow. We're going to see three necessary elements that every single believer should have and should be involved in making disciples for Jesus Christ. Notice first, the first element is our availability to his call. Our availability to his call. Notice in verse 16 of our text, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples," we know the 11 because who's left the group by now? Judas, all right? "The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them." You know, someone wise once said this: the best ability is, does anybody know the answer? Availability. The best ability is availability. And I can't tell you how true that is. You know, we've had in our lifetime people in the church who are super talented. But you know what? They didn't come to church. I'd rather have someone who doesn't have a lot of talents who's faithful to serve. That's what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for available people, those who want to get involved. Boy, tonight, it sounds like you're going to have an usher ministry. It sounds like you're going to have a children's church starting up. And you're going to have a choir. Now, you need good voices in the choir. But you need warriors in the children's ministry. Let me tell you that. I'm confident the people who are going to be in front of the line in getting the rewards in heaven are not going to be the pastors, and they're not going to be the missionaries. They're going to be the ladies who work the nursery and the children's church, and I believe that. But we need people who are available. Available. A faithful servant doesn't concern themselves with their position, but rather, what can I do to help? Amen. Are you willing to serve anywhere in the church or only in a specific area? Let me tell you, God's not looking for professionals, he's looking for servants. Amen. People who are available to his call. Now, thinking about this verse right here, something you may have skipped over this and never thought about this. But when Jesus Christ, we won't take time now, but if you start in chapter 28 and verse 1, we see the beginning, we see the resurrection of our Lord. Now, if you remember when Christ rose from the dead and the stone was put aside to the side, we see how many of his disciples were there waiting for him? None of them. Now, had Jesus told them that he was going to die and 3 days later he would rise again? Did he do it more than one time? He did it many times. And yet, they weren't there when he rose from the dead. So between verses 1 and 15, though Matthew doesn't record it, through this New Testament, we see where Christ meets with his disciples. And we see that Christ forgave them for not being in their place. And finally, the light bulbs went on, and they are there. In verse 16, they're in their spot. Now, why do I say that? I say that to say this. Many times in our lives, we say, yeah, I'll do that, and then we don't. Or we say, I'm going to do this, and we do it for a little while, and then we stop. And then think, well, I didn't do a very good job of that. I should just stop for good. Aren't we glad the disciples didn't do that? Aren't we glad the disciples said, I made a mistake, I've fallen down, but I'm going to get back up again. Because the Lord needs me, and I'm going to be a part of his work. They were available. And they realized, hey, they made mistakes, they learned from their mistakes, and they went on, and they continued to go forth. We must understand the Great Commission was not only given to the apostles, but those who met with Christ that day were other believers. It's not just to the leaders, it's to every believer. Every believer. Whether you're 70-year-old or 7-year-old, the Lord wants us all to be available. And the commission is to make disciples. Make disciples, make disciples. Christ isn't seeking the most talented or the most beautiful or the strongest people. If that were the case, I wouldn't be standing here today. Nope, he's looking for available people. People who are available to be his servant. They need to have the attitude of Isaiah when he saw Christ, God lifted up. He said, here am I, Lord. Send that guy over there. He looks like he could do it. No, he didn't say that. Lord, I'm here, but send that. No, he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. He was available to the Lord's call. What about you? Are you truly available to go wherever that may be, to serve and do what he'd have you to do, to make disciples of those who need Jesus Christ? If we are available to his call, then notice the second element, we should be obedient to his commission. Notice verse 19, verse 20, very familiar verses, but notice these. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe or to do all things whatsoever I, Christ, have commanded you. Now, the first step we always have to have, we have to have people who are available. It doesn't matter how great a pianist you have, if there's nobody in the choir won't sound very good, will it? So we need available members, right? But once you put your name on a piece of paper, there is a part that's the obedience. That's the action. And so our second element here of making disciples is the obedience. That's the actual going. That's the actual teaching. That's the actual preaching. You know, we have to have availability, but then at some point, we have to put our shoes on and we need to go. We need to make disciples. That's the action plan. Now, very briefly, in this verse 19, we're going to notice three words. We're going to pinpoint three words here that seem to just jump out off the page. The first word is go. Go. Go ye. The word go here literally means to leave, to take a journey. Right now, I'm on a journey between the Dominican Republic and then California and Phoenix, and I'm heading back to the Dominican Republic this evening. But the word go literally means to leave, to leave a place, your place of comfort, and to go somewhere else. Now, it may mean just on the other side of town. It may mean on the other side of the state. It may mean on the other side of the world. But the word go means go. It's an action word. Now, let me ask you this. You don't have to raise your hand, but just think in your mind right now. When was the last time you went somewhere to tell someone else about how Jesus has saved you and how they need him. Now think about that. I'm not talking about going to Africa to do it. When was the last time you left your home to tell anyone what Jesus has done for you and what he can do for them? That's the going. And for many of us, I'm included, I'm a missionary. There are many times I need to go more. I need to go more often. That guy needs to hear. That lady, that family needs to hear. That's the first word Christ gives his disciples when he says, what do you need to obey? You need to go. Now, if you know the disciples, once again, they didn't listen very well. We won't talk about this tonight, but it took 8 chapters before they actually went. So the greatest missionaries in the world sometimes needed a little prodding. We sometimes need a little prodding. We need to go. The second word that jumps off the page here in verse 19 is we need to go and do what? We need to teach. We need to teach. The word teach here seems very obvious when we're talking about making disciples. You need to teach them, but really, quite literally, is the most important part of making disciples. Is teaching them God's word, imparting biblical knowledge from one believer to another. It's really the only way you can make a disciple. It's to teach them what God's word says and how to apply it to their lives. So we get to go, but if you go and you don't have a message, it's not really any good. But we have a message. We need to teach them. Think about that. And we make disciples in lots of different ways. You can do it on one-on-one. When you have this children's ministry, let me say this. There's nothing sometimes more important than the life of a church than the children ministry. I read something a long time ago, and though I'm not 100% on all, but I do know this. If you reach a child who makes a profession of faith and trusts in Jesus Christ under the age of 12, they have a 90% chance of staying in church the rest of their life. And so many times we concentrate on other things. When the young people understand God's word and get it at a young age, not only do they stay in church and they stay faithful to the Lord, I keep thinking in Spanish, yo quiero decir evitar. They will not fall into the sins of this world and the trappings because they have it at a young age. Some of you are going to need to go ye into the next room in the next few months and help preach the gospel to these young people. Because it looks like on the back of your wall, you got a few more open slots. And I think there's probably a few young missionaries probably in this room tonight. I know when someone like Ethan has enough energy to be one right now. Okay? I like that guy. Listen, we need to pray for our kids that they will consider being missionaries. We need more missionaries. Disciples are made through the teaching of God's word. Now we know that we need to go. We know we need to teach. But who do we teach? Well, the third word in verse 19 says, teach all nations. Nations. The word here, nations, is actually the Greek word ethnos, which literally means not just a nation, like one country, but those of you who maybe lived in different countries understand that even in a country, there can be different ethnic groups, cultural groups. And what this is saying is that we need to bring the word of God to every group, every ethnic group, to hear the word of God. Now, I won't spend a lot of time on statistics, but let me give you a few that maybe you've never considered. There are over 7,000 known languages in the world today, and less than 20% of them have a completed copy of God's Word. I am blessed to not only speak English and have a great translation in English to the King James Version, but also preach in Spanish when we have a completed God's Word and a great translation. So we're double blessed. Most countries do not have that. In fact, 3,500 languages, listen to this. So half the known languages in the entire world do not have one verse translated. That means over half of the languages in the known world do not have John 3:16 translated yet. We need to go. We need to teach. And we need to teach these nations. And when we can, we will see disciples being made. Now, here's the question. Here's the part where we apply it to our lives. Who's going to go? The lost world? Or people sitting in the pews here tonight? The government's not going to send missionaries, and we don't want them to. The human organizations aren't going to send missionaries. It's the local New Testament church. It's going to be congregations like this that send missionaries to all ethnos, all cultural groups. Have you ever prayed, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do? I had the pleasure of driving with Brother Joe. He picked me up at the airport. I was given a little of my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm very thankful for that. Saved at a young age. But I didn't attend a church that really emphasized missions or even the fact that you could be a missionary. Lovely church, but just that wasn't their emphasis. But I finally found my home church. And they went on missions trips. And I went on a mission trip for the first time. And I worked in computers, and I didn't know anything. I'd never been out of the country. I grew up in West Virginia. I mean, I went to India, of all places. Everything was upside down to me. The only similarity between West Virginia and India were a lot of people without shoes on, okay? Other than that, it was upside down world to me. But I do remember coming home and thinking, Lord, I know there's one prayer I've never prayed before. I've never just said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. If you want me to go to India, if you want me to go somewhere, I'll do it. And you know what? A few short months after that trip and praying that prayer, the Lord says, I do want you to go. Now, don't take a mission trip if you don't want to be a missionary, because you never know what's going to happen. But I do encourage you to go, because the Lord will open your eyes. And we need to see more people going, teaching all nations. Now, lastly, remember, we want to be available to His call. And when we're available to His call, we need to be obedient to His commission. Lastly, we need to trust. We need to trust in His continued presence. Notice in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And notice this promise, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The third element here is us trusting the Lord and His promise. He's given us His commission, but we need to trust in His continual presence in our lives. I remember a very anxious feeling I had in my stomach. It was February 14th, 2009. And you see, the reason I was anxious is because my wife and our daughter Ashley, we had tickets, and we were about to get on the plane and go to the Dominican Republic. Now, you see, I had been to the Dominican many times, and Holly and I both had been on different trips. But every time we had gone to the Dominican before, we had two tickets. We had a ticket to the Dominican, and we had a ticket back to the United States. But on this day, we only had one ticket. We were packed up our bags, and we were ready to go. And I had this anxious feeling, Lord, what is it going to be like? And this phrase, this verse kept going through my head. I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And you know what? He's been with us every step of the way. Amen. Have there been difficult days? Absolutely. Have there been many, many more better days than bad days? Absolutely. But He's with us in the good days, and He's with us in the bad days. He's with us wherever we're at. Don't be afraid to serve the Lord. Don't be afraid. Boy, I tell you, in the last couple years, I've been way more afraid for you here in America when I watch the news than what's going on in the Dominican Republic. So if we're afraid because of crime or fear, we will not be impactful for the Lord. But we can have great fruit and have great peace and be a part of what the Lord wants us to do when we trust in His continued presence. He will be with you wherever He calls you. Like I said, it may be to a neighbor. It may be to another part of the state. Maybe to a coworker. Maybe to another country. What are you going to do to make disciples for Jesus Christ? Are you available to His call? Maybe it's time to ask the pastor, like he said tonight. Ask him about being involved in one of these ministries mentioned. Being an usher. You know, I remember when I came back from that trip to India, the first thing after I started praying, I remembered, well, I can't be a missionary yet because you know what? I'm not really serving in my home church the way I should be. And I remember coming back and asking my pastor, what can I do? And he helped me be in charge of some kids' ministry in Awanas, and I helped count offering. I did whatever I could because I said, I can't go serve people on the other side of the world if I'm not serving those I love.
It starts here at home. Are you available to his call?
But if you're available, are you going to be obedient? If you say, yeah, I think I can do that, all right, it's time to go. It's time to do something for him. It's time to go tell that coworker about him. It's time to tell that family member about him. Lastly, when the fear comes, and it will come, oh, you might get that track or the invitation, you're about to give it to someone, and then there's this wave of fear comes. I've been there. Remember, he's with you. He's continually with us. If we're his children, he abides in us. He is with us. And we can trust him because he will be with us until the end of the world. Church, worship is wonderful. We need to continue. Fellowship, Bible study, preaching, teaching. But most importantly, as a church, we need to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we will fulfill his great commission until he comes. Let's pray.